supposed to do. And we had mentioned the issue of making sure that they are able to marry each other. And if you see the... I'm not sure why they're different colors. It's been a special this week. Why is some of them... They want to show you black and blue. Some black and some blue. What's blue? What? Oh, links. It means it's not here, or is this here?
If you click on it, you pull up the page.
All right. Okay. I see. So I have things which you don't have. Okay, I understand. The reason is that you're assumed to have a Shulchan Aruch. You're not assumed to have the other things, so that's why they're in blue. Got it. I figured it out. Okay. Didn't take me that long. Thank you. Okay. Just a bit of a taste of some of these suffering mamza questions or mamza shenitma questions. It's forever to discuss it, but just briefly, there's a whole dispute whether there's a concept of mamza varev or mamza suffik, there's a concept of mamza kema shenitma nitma, and a concept of mamzerim tohorim la'asad lovo. These are three concepts all found in the Masechta Kiddushin and the early ayins, ayin aleph, ayin beis, ayin gimel, those few blah. Very complex, the precise relationship between these disparate sugars of the Gemara, and we don't have time to go into the lumdus behind it. Just to get to a little bit of a taste, we'll open up. Oh, you don't have a Shulchan Aruch. You have Shulchan Aruch in front of you?
Yeah.
Not really?
Yes.
And the assumption was that you did, but all right. I'll just quote briefly. I mentioned it yesterday, last week, Torah Shabbat Peh. It was important to see a Torah Shabbat Chsav, even though there was a Torah Shabbat Peh on the Torah Shabbat Chsav, which we'll have to only just refer to very briefly. The Ramah, it's Eben Ezra Simon Bey's Sif Hei, says, you know, Mi mishpacha shen disarba psul bein yadu l'rabim kema shen nitma nitma. It's done. Vayodea psula eina mashar legalosa al yanichene becheskes kashrus shkol mishpacha shen nitma b'yisrael k'shem lasad lavo. So you see the link between those two?
This is
Simon Beis Sifhei. When we come again kosher adava legalos it's snuin. The Ran says because shechin is only shor mishpacha sam yuchasus. Quotes from the Shulchan Giborim. So, what does that mean? Only if it's nitma nitma, that means if you know somebody is puzzled and he hasn't been mixed in with the rest of another family, then you got to say something. What must you know? What must you know? It doesn't say what you know. It's unclear. You know, there's a psak bezin that is puzzled, and it's forgotten, and you have to tell what the bezin paskin. We heard a story, a rumor. A rumor is this and this and the other things. I only think a meister rabbi had. Someone came to me with a story that there was a person whose husband surfaced after World War II, and there was a second marriage, and there's a grandchild. And Rabbi Zalman Nechemia told me, don't do anything. So I understood he meant to say that. We don't know. It's a story. Was the story true? Was it not true? Was there a wedding? Was there a get? We don't know. It's just a rumor of what happened in the distant past. Don't turn over the rock. That's a psak I received, which may be related to how you read this Ramah in Simon Bey's Sif Hey. Just letting you know, that's an important maramok. Okay, that's
just... Simon Bey's Aloha Hey, in the Rivia.
Why don't you read the very end? It's the last line.
Oh,
okay. Yeah.
So how do we square this idea of not to look further into things when it's actually mevara suffering?
Very good question. Not every suffering you're required to be mevara. This is another interesting thing. And this link is the question whether it's true or not. Rabbi Chanan and his Sefer links the idea of mamza vadev and mamza suffering to another Gemara in Kiddushin about suffering or lebechutz lords. The Gemara tells us, unbelievable concept, what you don't know won't hurt you. If I know this is Arla, you don't, I can give it to you and make a bar priates. I'm giving it to you. I know it's Arla, but you don't. No problem. Chana suggests that when it comes to Mamzeris, it makes the same thing. What you don't know won't hurt you. Chiddush Nifla, at least on the level of the Raisa, the Rabbanas, we can't go into right now. That may be a reason not to turn over the rock. Again, the relationship between all these things is quite murky. Quite murky. I'd love to talk about it at greater length. Just wanted to give you a brief discussion. Mola Maisa is a Beis Shmuel here in Siman Dalet. That's the main Siman about this stuff. Sivkoton Nun Dalet. Sivkoton Nun Dalet talks about something quite remarkable. Based on the Sugya of Gemara, the concept is called Trei Rube. Trei Rube. Mm-hmm. What does Trei Rube mean? Not just one roof, two roofs. At the end of Nun Dalet, it has the following discussion. We need to a few brief lines. Ika Trei Rube Goyim Azlinen Acha Trei Rube. What does that mean? What will happen if there's a woman who's married to Reuven, and she has a baby out of wedlock? You don't know who it is. No clue. It could be anybody. Anybody. The husband says, it's not me. Husband, let's say, was away for a long time. No, it's not him. So who is it? The whole world's out there. I don't know. It could be anybody in the world. Well, there are two majorities of goyim. The way you define two majorities is one majority in that immediate location, that's who live there. One majority of those who pass through there. Then we assume, not knowing anything else, that the child came from a goy. Oy vey, came from a goy. Great, it came from a goy. Because the din is in Shulchan Aruch that if a woman who's married has a child from a Jewish man, it's a mamza. A child from a non-Jewish man, not a mamza. Oh, great. We'll assume the father's a goy and solve all the world's problems. That's what it says in Beis Shmuel, end of Sivkot Nandalet in Simen Dalet. Now, there are those who say, wait a minute, maybe the husband is really the father over here. We have a concept in the Gemara called Ro Bilos Achar Habal. So you have to look back a little bit to see why it's likely not true in this case. Take a look back. I'm just giving you some quick Maramakomas. The Beis Shmuel Sivkot Mem Gimel, where the Rambam writes in Sivcha Vav, Rambam writes, Afilo Meres, Aim Zinzo Tachas Abal, Afilo Meres Shoploniu, Vu Mamzer, and Chosh Nidvare, the Tolan Rov, Bilo Seb Abal, the Kosher. Finished, done. Says the Beis Shmuel, Hainuk Shabala Etzla. Ha ha ha. He has to be around. But if he's not, they're not together anymore, they're not in the same place, then it would not apply. Okay. Now, the question becomes, we said before, you attributed to Goyim, do we ever agree to that? That's a Beis Shmuel in Sivkoton Nun Beis. In Sivkoton Nun Beis, Shulchan Aruch says as follows. A mother has no credibility. She has a kid's possible, we don't believe her. I heard a story by Rav Moshe, the Zichron of Levrach, Rav Moshe Feinstein, who was under a chuppah, about to minasad a kiddushin, and the mother of the boy says, I can't handle it. I can't handle it. This boy is not from my husband, it's from somebody else. So Rav Moshe had ice water in his veins. Kosher ain't in the menace, and he went on to do the kiddushin. I would have fainted on the spot. For sure. Fainted on the spot. And you should also faint on the spot if it happens to you. That's the din. Finished. Done. Don't believe him.
What safe is this?
Sivchav Tes. A father, on the other hand, has credibility. We know that as Yakir. Okay, he's not my kid. Not my kid. Mamzer Vadai. So writes the tour. Wait a minute. But maybe it's a guy. So you see from here that if she doesn't say it's from a goy, we're not going to assume it's from a goy. The Rambam says, "Becheskes mamzer." It's a suffix. It's from a goy. It's a machlokes. So Rabbi Yoshev writes, "This is a machlokes in the old years." Because who would be the only goy? If you lived in Europe, the guy wanted to kill you. You have to know a little bit of Jewish history. Wherever we were, the guy wanted to kill us. So who's going to be with the goy? In America, despite this recent uptick in anti-Semitism, Hashem Yirachem, but before this and even during this, not so much. That's why the intermarriage rate here is so high. Because it's, what's wrong with the guy? I go to university with him, I sit in the class with him, looks very nice to me. Well, Goya, he's pretty to me. Why not? Because that stigma has been taken away. So the Yashiv wrote, in a tshuva, I think, that may even be here, times have changed. COVID's tshuvas, it should be on your somewhere in here. Let's take a look. Hello, Yashiv. Mm-hmm. Whole story. If you look on Kuf Mem Aleph, you got a letter from the rabbi from Zurich. Tells you this 400,000 Goyim, only 6,000 Jews. So it's a question of what's the din, right? And there's intermarriage 50%. And they're totally secular people. Before they got married, they weren't together in the same apartment. And she presumably lived with him and nobody else. And she remarried without a get. And the second husband said, "That's my kid." He was at the bris, called the name on his Ploni Ben Ploni. It's his. Yeah. It's his. Yeah. Okay. What's the deal? Gewalt. It's a big problem. What's the deal? Is this kid a mamza or not a mamza? That's the question. Goes to a whole discussion. Rambam, this is many, many pages. Can't read everything. It's as follows. Why do we say, we assume, it's based on the Gemara and Yevamos, Daima mi nei, but not mi alma. Okay? He says that in today's world, she has no neman as apostle or son, as we said. And we can say, Suffolk Shema Migoinus Abra. Do we depend upon a goy? Some say yes, some say no. Okay. He wants to say, the times have changed. And these days, people have less hesitations to be intimate with a guy as they had in the old years, and therefore there's a room to say that we can attribute it to a guy. Trey Ruby, you saw it in the Beis Shmuel. Here Beis Shmuel is hesitant. Can we base it on a guy if no one says it's from a guy? And Rabbi Yosef says perhaps we can. And I brought in just one thing which is also here, Yabia Omer, which also should be here. Right after Rabbi Yosh, we quote Rabbi Avadja, back to back, if you have it. The same story, a similar kind of question. And once again, he says something very similar, that perhaps we can attribute it to a guy. Trey Ruby. Again, I can't read the whole thing. He signs his name. Lahadra Seisha Baloch, etc. You can be matirit. I can't read the whole thing. But it's something which you should have a chance to look at. If you have a chance. Fine. That's what he says. Fine. We can as much more to say, but I can't spend more time on this topic. It's a sad topic. Just to show you that. It sounds like it's an obvious mamzer. It's not so obvious. Not so obvious. Because there, Rabbi Yosef has it. Rabbi Moshe Weiss has a tshuva about it as well. More recently, Rabbi Avadya has it. All three gedolei Eretz Yisrael, all go at the same halach. That is in New York, with the majority of two rubi of goyim. Even though it sounds like a mamzer to us, it was a proper marriage to a Jew, and then she, without a get, she remarries somebody else. It's a disaster. So Rabbi Avadya has the following, he quotes us from the Sefer called the Bris Avraham. It's in that Shulchan, I just quoted to you. The whole thing of Daima Mineh, which we know she's living with this guy, So we assume it's from him and not from anybody else, according to one opinion, from the Samach test. That's only if that relationship is okay. They're both single, which is not so bad. Maybe it's the Rabbanan, maybe it's the Rice, it's only a love. But if we know for sure that she's doing a terrible sin, a terrible sin, adultery. So what are you saying? She's not going to live with other people. Nothing stands in the way. So therefore, everyone should agree the possibility exists that she'll live with a goy, to which I add an extra twist. Not everybody agrees that living with a goy is the same severity as living with a Jew. But we know the result is different. One's a mamza, one's not a mamza. But there's a big question, did the woman violate lo sinna in its full measure by being unfaithful to living with a goy? It's a question. Is there a vayavar? It's a lot of Ramban and Sanhedrin, not going into that whole thing. So on the contrary, she's a big tzedekis. She knows she can't be with her husband. She doesn't like, she has to find some other man. Look for a guy. This way I'll call it the Ramban. I'm just making this a semi-joke. But just explain to you that you can't assume someone's a mamza or a mamza. You can't. You have to check it out. And some psak will be, don't check it out. It's very important. Don't make a mistake. It's a Masada Kedushin. Being too firm, al titztak harbe, you have to be careful. You can always try. How far our Gdolim went to be matter these cases, they hang themselves on threads just not to make mamzer. Person mamz is a disaster. We try very hard whenever we can to. The next subtitle is Yisurei Kahuna. I'm going to go into it in great length. You all know, Pasuk says that a Kohen cannot marry a Grusha, that everybody knows. But he also can't marry a Chalola. What's a Chalola? A woman who's a product of Yisurei Kahuna. In other words, there was a previous generation of a Kohen lived with someone he's not allowed to be with, and they had a child that's called a Chalola. That's something called a Zona. And the word Zona in Yiddish means a prostitute. But that's not what it means in the Torahs. It's about six-way machlokas and yavamas, what the word Zona means. We hold, it doesn't mean a ponibol, a pnuya, that's not what it means. What does it mean? It means a few things that the Rambam has when he calls a Zona. And one of them is a Gioris. Means a woman, she's a tzedekis, mamish. A Gioris. We passed, even she was this guy at age, in infancy. That's on the adoptions today. She's still a Surah Lakuna Midaraisa because it's called the Zona. What do you mean? You call me a bad name. It's not a bad name. It's a term of art found in Chamisha Chumshe Torah. It doesn't mean what it usually means. The word in the Torah is what? Come on, you know. We read in a few weeks. Kedesha, that's the word that's used in the Torah to describe these kind of women. This is a specific term, okay? And it can even be someone who's completely innocent. Yours is innocent. It could be nibble of the puzzle, even be honest. Not a fault at all. So it was someone who violated her, who either a goy or. In case she was married by somebody, another guy, whoever it was, didn't do anything bad in the world. There's a halachic category called a zona, and a kohen may not marry such a woman. The most common case today is exactly that. Unfortunately, in the secular world, and university campuses, and other things like that, and a woman is not observant, a secular woman, the percentage of secular women who finished 4 years at a university campus and come out, let's use the word psula, a virgin, who go on your internet, find it out. What's the percentage? I don't think it'll reach 1%. It certainly won't reach 10. I don't want to talk about high school, but let's leave that out. But many of these balos tshuva become balos tshuva after they finish university. I said, until then they're too young, they just must. She has a history. And of course, in the university, no one's mafkan, are you Jewish or not Jewish? It's the secular world, it's hefka. That's why there's so much intermarriage. So Rav Yashav Paskin, a kohen cannot marry a baal shuv. Sure. Because, I would say that if the woman can come to a physician who will examine her, and she'll say she's a psula, she can't marry a kohen. I have a chashav harav, biyash lo kedarka. That's Those are very remote. People, oh, I knew a case like that, but I don't want to go into that now. But most people will have the Yetzirah, they're not interested in that stuff, and therefore, I think that would work. I also think that it's possible to question a woman and even to believe her if she has a certain measure of credibility. But again, a doctor's visit should take care of our fears. But there's so many unfortunate cases where Kohanim are marrying these women. We know it for a fact. They're not supposed to do it. They didn't realize. They were both Bali Tshuva. They got married. They both weren't from. The Kohen never heard in his life of such a violation. And he married a woman, and the woman now walks up. Guess what? I've learned too much. I can't be with you. I can't stay with you. All kinds of problems can emerge in these kinds of situations. You have to be careful in handling them. Very, very, very careful. Yes, sir?
A Jewish woman who was with a Jewish guy in college, she's still kosher lakuna.
She's kosher lakuna. We paskin, she's kosher. Right. One day it says, no, we paskin, she's kosher lakuna.
Right.
Okay. So in Eretz Yisrael, you're a little better off. Because they're more Jews, and Arabs are still, for most women, not all, unfortunately, despicable. They're killing us. They're throwing rockets at us. Anyway. These are very serious, serious matters. Very serious matters, and you have to be very careful with dealing with the other Kohen. There's a whole different level of care to be taken that he should be allowed to marry this woman. Unfortunately, it's what's called kalkoloso takanoso. By the time you are in the field, the problem will be largely solved. You know why? Because if they're both Bali Tshuva, the same way she is not allowed to marry a Kohen, he's not a Kohen either. Because you got a 20-year-old now, so his mother married 25 years ago. What was she doing 28 years ago? She was a secular woman. She was also with Goyim. She was also with Goyim. Then this Kohen is not a Kohen either. He may call his name may be Kohen, but it's not necessarily a Kohen. So this problem, unfortunately, to solve itself to a large measure, at least when they're both Bali Tshuva, which is a sad commentary on what's going on in today's world. Shem Yirach. Should also mention to you the Pesach Halacha is the last source before we go to the next topic. That this is we paskin that even if the woman is the product of a non-Jewish man and a Jewish woman, Maisa Mechoyom, unfortunately, right? Akavel Abov Asisro, we pass Avlat Kosher. I mentioned last week some say it's a kosher with goy. We don't pass it. We pass the kosher with Jew. But Avlat Pogam Lakuna. So Machlokos Rishonim, we pass the Avlat is Pogam Lakuna. You'll find certain Sephardic poskim behind the Rambam. Seems to disagree. You can't argue with the Sephardim. But for Ashkenazim, even though the Mechaba does mention another opinion, bottom line is they shouldn't get married. Yes, it's true. Imnisis Lotetse, but that's only b'dieved. And it's hard to go beyond that if they're married already, that you shouldn't be the one who's marrying them. Just mentioning it to you in passing, because that comes up, and rabbis have spent gallons of ink, even in recent years, of these, shasat chak, ahin, aher. You have to just sort of say it like it is. It's interesting that my Rebbe's famous piece about this, Surrender to the Will of the Almighty, about precisely this case. A woman was misguided to marry a man, and we spoke about that last week, but she was from, it was B'diav, a good geiris, and before they got married, they went to the cemetery. Came back to the Rav with some strange things on the tombstone. Fingers up like this. What in the world does that mean? His father said, what does that mean? Oi, 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 oi. You know what that means? That means it was a Kohen. And she had a surrender to Elio Vaidin. They just couldn't get married. That's the story. So it's sad. That's the reality. Just want to bring it to your attention. Any questions about Perek Echad, the first Perek of the Muhammad Kohen? Yes, sir.
Do we ever do research and try to debunk someone's Kohen line?
Oh, absolutely. There are many. Rav Moshe the Tshuva, again, I don't have time. Rav Moshe the Tshuva, the guy with the name Kohen, but who says he's a Kohen? There's no frum person who says he's a Kohen. It could be a nobody. But you have to understand that people do this in the ways which they should not do it. Unfortunately, speaking very personally now, I live in a particular community where the three rabbis served as rabbis as Kohanim in my community. Three. Not one, not two, but three. All three had problems with this. Once the rabbi wanted to marry a divorcee, so he said, I'm not really a Kohen. Yeah, a kohen. You've been a kohen for 30 years. Well, my father said he was a kohen, but he was just he was a charlatan. He didn't really, he didn't have that. So this fellow from mine has two sons, if I'm not mistaken. I think one duchen, so 1,000 duchen. It's a disaster. And it was like, you know, now all of a sudden he discovers he's not a kohen because he wants to marry Grusha. That's one case. Another case, a rabbi was a kohen, had a son who wanted to marry a woman who was psula the kohuna. So what did they do? Why she was psula? She was a grusha. No problem. We're not going to de-kohenize the man. We'll de-grushaize the woman. She was never married. Why? That's the next thing. There's something wrong with the marriage. What's wrong with the marriage? One of the eidim was puzzled. So number one, I'm not sure if it was really puzzled, but even if he was puzzled, the way we understand it, and I don't have time to go into that now, we'll have to go to a little later on. There were many kosher eidim there. Oh, but Rabbi Avadya has his shita. So they went to Rabbi Avadya with a tshuva. Tshuva is, I think, printed in the last chelik, in Yud Aleph, I think so. That, well, since one eid was puzzled, Nimsa Rakov apostle, eid is kulun betela, and she was never married, so therefore, she never married, she's not a grusha, she can marry the kohen. The Pesach is number one, in my humble opinion, incorrect, because I think that the other eidim are sufficient. We'll get to it later. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, you don't even have to do the chatchila. It's a case where there was eidim psulim under the chuppah. He said, there were many other eidim sharim there. So many other eidim sharim. You don't say karva po. That's the famous kash of Tarsus. Every wedding is karva posel. So how do you answer? It's a big machlekes. But either way, we assume that they're married without that. So that. But as far as the psak being wrong, come on. What kind of psak is this? And the third case was there was a rabbi whose son wanted to marry a grusha, and they also somehow, whatever they did, the son married a grusha. It's terrible. This is all in my backyard. It was a more famous case. Well, I don't know what's more famous. Maybe infamous case, a terrible case, which happened across the river. Kayan's son wanted to marry a girl who was psula lakuna. They came up with a brilliant einfa. Brilliant! This Kayan's grandmother was Nebuch in the Holocaust, in Auschwitz. So Auschwitz, she's a shvuya. She's a shvuya, so therefore, the grandson's not a kohen. But there's a problem. There were all kinds of other people in the family. There was a sister who was married to a kohen, and it was a brother. Well, it only applies to this one, but not to the two siblings. What is this here? Gedolei Yisrael worked very hard after the Holocaust to be matir the women to kohen. Otherwise, and they had various good reasons, and the Satna Rebbe wrote about it, and the Moshe, a lot of great rabbis wrote about it. Why is no din of shuya? The Nazis were killing people. They weren't. Yeah, the facts are a little bit murky there too. But that's been the Psak Makum and Klal Yisrael. So these are all terrible stories, and men don't end well. Men they get divorced. Two of the stories I told you, they got divorced. Two out of four I told you. It's about 500. That's about the average divorce rate in America today. It doesn't work.
Yes. One of the poskim I remember it's quoted by the Pesachei Tshuva that sometimes we have to be somech on that the kohen is not miyuchos.
That's true. They throw that into the mix.
The Maharaj Dam.
Maharaj Dam, very good.
Yeah.
Rabbi Shechter screams and yells. That does all that means is in a certain way we cannot accept that a kohen is not a kohen. We use the Kohanim are really Kohanim. When Mashiach will come, Beis HaMikdash, we'll have to figure out what to do. Can he work on the Beis HaMikdash? But to count that is very difficult. Very difficult. Okay, Rabbi Osai, any more questions on this topic? So now you're ready to marry somebody off. Assuming that they're allowed to be married, fine. But then they're going to say, no. This woman was married before. All right, show me the get. You'll never see a get. You see a ptur. When a get is written, they rip up the get. They store it in the files, and no one should be ma'ar on it, and they give a p'tur, which is a p'tur is a document certifying that the woman was divorced. Good, gavaldik, terrific, it's written by a reliable bezin, no problem, it's not a kohen, no problem. No, 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 no. You have het and nisuin. What did het and nisuin mean? Well, you know, the first marriage wasn't a marriage either because there were no edim. Right? We don't pass on that way. I mean, that's what really no edim. No, that's true. That's the blessing we have with non-Orthodox rabbis. That reform rabbis and some conservative rabbis, there's not a single kosher aid at the wedding. Not one. Not one. Not the rabbi himself, because he's likely puzzled. And not anyone else. And we do a lot of research in our bezin to find out. We see videos and pictures and albums and testimonies. And in most cases, there was not a single front person at the wedding. So with no aiding. So, Rob Henkins, that Sal, was not willing to be Mekel because they have to live together. Even if it's a civil marriage or a reform marriage with no aiding, but they're together, everyone knows they're together. So Rav Henkins Chumrah. Rav Moshe is Mekel. So the conservatives were angry at Rav Moshe. How can he discredit their marriage? He did them the biggest favor in the world. It's not fair that they'd be a little mamzerim all over the place. Because they don't get a get. I'm not sure I mentioned this last week. If people from the street ask you to do a marriage, say no. Because it's just going to make problems down the road. Anyway. So if there was no Aiden, we can be Mekel. We have been Mekel many times. But there's certain people now have all kinds of other ways to get around all these things. Yeah? We're going to solve all the world's problems. Highest solve all the world's problems. Kiddush etos. Kiddush etos. A new world. Kiddush etos. Now, 20 years ago, there was known as the Rachman Beis Din. Rachman was a wonderful Jew. He did a lot of wonderful things in his life. But Besof Yoma, when he couldn't solve the good of crisis any other way, he resorted to something which as a Rabbi Borgmanstern was together with him, who said, you know, that there are many cases we can undo the marriage because, you know, even though there was nothing wrong before, but it was there before, it was latent, came out later. And on this basis, we can... What's latent? Let's say he hit her. He only hit her after they got married. Oh, yeah, but it was obviously he was a punching kind of guy. We checked with his high school classmates. He was a violent fellow. He used to bang beat people up. So it's obvious that it was latent there before. So had she known that, she wouldn't have married him. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So that's a little bit absurd on many levels. Most fundamentally... But the fact that he had a violent streak, there are many people with a violent streak, but they control themselves. And they don't beat people up, especially a wife. You're not allowed to beat up your wife. You're not allowed to hit your wife, Chas v'Shalom. So how can you say that it was obvious you wouldn't want to marry him if he had this kind of streak? I'll debunk it by telling you a case that I know about where the guy beat up the girl before they were married, and even she married him anyway.
That's a bigger problem.
That indicates it's not going to be shetos.
That's like, why is that going to be shetos?
Yeah, she knew in advance.
Yeah.
That means even though she can't say that he beat up his friends in high school, that she wouldn't want to marry him. Even if she knew he beat her up, maybe she would have married him, as we have indications. Yeah?
And how far do we say Tav
Dulmeh Tav? That's the question. How far do we say Tav Dulmeh Tav Tav Mesav Marav? So, it's a very good question how far we go with it. Again, I do not believe that this credits Kiddush HaTorahs completely. Rav Moshe Feinstein, who we've tried to follow, has four cases of Kiddush HaTorahs. Recently, Ksav came out from a recent Rabbanim, no Kiddush HaTorahs. No more Kiddush HaTorahs in the world. No more. You didn't see it? No more. No more. It's just, are we on or off here? I can't say who now, but...
We're going to pause?
What? Yeah, that'll be a good idea. Has four cases of Kiddush HaTorahs. Four different examples. The first, the man is impotent. Hakol yodim kalam nechzal chuppah, and he can't do it. No gvuras hanashim, nothing, no, nothing works for him. He tried, I don't know, every pill in every therapy gone, nothing works. So she would never want to marry the guy. She didn't know. She didn't know. soon as she found out, she said, I can't be with this guy. Once I gave up on curing him, she left. Kedusha tos. Case number one. Case number two. The man was in a psych unit. A psych unit. Very serious mental problems. Psychosis, you name it. And then he got a little bit better, and he married her. And then he relapsed. As almost all the guys relapse. From Moshe Paskin, it was the case, I know the case, he was in the Ferry Point military hospital during World War II. And then he couldn't give her a get. He cracked up, or he disappeared. Moshe writes, Kiddush Etos. No one would ever want to live with a man who's psychotic. You can't live with him. And then had she known it, she never would have married him. The same case was sent from Chipes and Frank. How do I know? Ferry Point. How many cases were in Ferry Point? He says exactly the same thing. Two cases. These two cases printed in Igros Moshe Chelek Aleph. It's Ayin Tes and Pei, if I'm not mistaken. Again, I don't have time to go into all the Ramakamas right now. Good. Those are two cases. There are two more cases in Chelek Dalet. Chelek Dalet, still Rav Moshe was still... Came out of Rav Moshe Tov Shem Mem Beis, I believe Rav Moshe was still in charge. Okay? One, the man, unbelievable, was in the church. It was a church. He was a practicing Christian. But he found a nice Jewish girl, and he hid that fact from her, and he married her, and they went back to the church. Went to the church? What? He married a girl at the church. There's a discussion, in that Jew and a few others, well, what if she's a secular Jew? Maybe she wouldn't care if he's in the church. Anyway, but in case she's, in given cases, the church, she never would have married him. Good. You understand, all these cases, you have to assume that no one would want to marry him. Nobody. I might say nobody. Nobody in that situation would ever want to marry him. You can't. You say, well, she wouldn't have married him. She was a Beis Yaakov girl. She wanted the Kolnik. And he turned out to be not a Nazi. He was only got an 80 on his test, not 100. She would never want to marry him. He fooled her. You can't go with it. There's a limit how far you can go with these things. The fourth and final case is the man was homosexual. So, Moshe's a tshuva. Why would a woman want to marry a man who prefers being with a man than being with her? She didn't know. That's as far as Rav Moshe went. Those are the four tshuvas that we had. There's one other tshuva which is hard to understand. But
I guess the impotence and the Mishkav Zohar go hand in hand.
Not necessarily. I don't want to get involved in politically charged statements. Those are Rav Moshe's four cases. And those four cases, we would follow Rav Moshe. And this new letter says no, lo plug, because it's being abused. And I understand where they're coming from. I can't sign such letters, but I understand where they're coming from. So now they extended it beyond recognition. Whenever there's a problem, they say it's Kiddush Etos. That's incorrect. It's incorrect. Kiddush Etos, only these four cases. Even then, Rav Henkin said there's no such thing. Tavla Mesa. You will not find in Shas anywhere Kiddush Etos in that direction. You won't find it. Rav Henkin will call it Shas. You won't find it. Rav Moshe says you can extrapolate it, maybe even a Kavach. If the man is with a woman, and then he finds out about the woman, it could be Kiddush Etos. So there's a Marshal in Ksubis. In that case, it's Kiddush Etos. But even though if he wanted any moment, between the Gemara, he can divorce you even against the will. Still, it's Kiddush Etos once get involved. Other reasons for Chule. Kavachomer, a woman who cannot force the man to give her a get. Kavachomer, she wouldn't want to get involved in such a marriage. That's a Marshal Ksumas, a Sug of Tavla Mesa. I believe that Rav Moshe is using that Svara. Rav Moshe points out, again, a whole Sug of Ksumas, I can't go into all the protein right now. He thinks that not only is it mutter for her to remarry midoraisa, he mutter to marry midrabanan, and he's passing aloha lemaisa in those few cases. Rav Henkin says absolutely wrong. So according to Rav Henkin, obviously, probably Rav Henkin can sign that letter in your sleep. There's no such thing in bichlal; it doesn't exist. But many other poskim, if you look at other poskim, a whole list, do accept this notion of kiddush etos in that direction, but only. It was a very, very serious case.
Can Rebbe give an example of such a case?
Kiddush Etos? I gave you four examples.
No, no, Tava Mesav Tandu. What was on Moshe's head today?
On the contrary. Tav Lemesav, Tav Lemesav Almi would knock out these Atera. It's better to be with a man than to be with nothing. It goes the opposite direction. But not in this case. Tav Lemesav, Tav Lemesav Almi, if you look carefully in the Gemara, is in a different kind of a case. Where the only problem is that there'd be a Surah of a Krovim, not in this kind of case, but there's a pre-existing flaw which rises to the level that she wouldn't marry him had she known about it. When she found out about it, she left him. Those are the three requirements to have a psak of Kedusha Tos. Now, you could argue she didn't leave him that same day, but she didn't live with him anymore. That's also included. But if she lived with him, that's like a guy buys something and he finds a mum and he keeps using it after he knows the mum. Now he wants to give it back to Mekach Tos. So why'd you use it? So she lives with the man. She's using him. So that's very, very, almost impossible to be matter that. It's almost impossible to be matter if she continued to live with him. Obviously, in the case of impotence, that's not a problem. But the other cases, it would be a problem if they continued to live together, even though she discovered the flaw. So they have to go and say, well, she didn't really realize it. She thought he was mentally challenged, but it could be overcome. When she found out how bad it is, she left right away. So you have to figure that one out, if it was a pre-existing condition. And the same thing with the other cases. But you understand very well that this could be a little bit tricky. If you want to go to pause again, I'll tell you another story.
So if you say